35. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 68 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys are doing a little bit better than me, man. I talked about my allergies yesterday, and no sign of that really clearing up. Reed, I know I always mess with Chase about this, but this pollen this year is just on a different level. But anyway, we're ready for a Talking Tuesday, man. Hopefully we can talk with some more of you guys, as you guys are the co-hosts on a Talking Tuesday. 205-342-9904, that is the number to the program. Love to get y'all's thoughts on a number of things we're going to talk about. We're definitely going to talk some Alabama football. They held their final open practice of the spring period today. We're quickly winding down. And I say quickly because you really only have one more practice, I think, Thursday ahead of A-Day, which is, you know, the conclusion of spring ball. And then we put football back on the shelf, at least here in Tuscaloosa, for a little while, about, you know, 3 months or so, maybe three and some change, and then we'll gear up for fall camp, and we definitely will hit it hard. But during the summer, don't you guys worry. We'll keep talking plenty of football. We'll start taking a little bit more of a deep dive also around the conference. You know, maybe some of these other teams nationally, maybe like the Ohio States of the world, but definitely want to take a look at some of these other schools in the conference, especially that are going to be on the schedule that Alabama will face this upcoming season. So we'll save all that for when we get there. But this week, we're still going to dive heavy into what's going on right now. Again, the last open practice was today. That means there was media availability this morning where the media was able to see about 10 minutes or so, a couple periods of, indie drills, position work. So we'll have plenty of clips to kind of run as we talk about these things and go over a couple of notes that I want to talk about here on the show. Plus, I also want to piggyback off of, you know, some of the talk that we had later in the show yesterday about the executive order that has been, put into place, right? I don't know exactly when everything's really going to start to be applied, but we talked a little bit at the end of the show, and I kind of want to piggyback off of that conversation because it is very interesting. It sounds like there's going to be some serious changes coming to the college athletics, and we'll have to see how it all plays out, but definitely very noteworthy as well. Per usual, barring any changes, I know Clint did make his way up there to the media availability as well. We should hear from him at the top of the hour. May have to be over the phone lines, given he might be driving back, leaving from Tuscaloosa. We'll have to see. It was nice to have him on the stream last week. Well, it might be a little bit different. Might go back to the phone lines this week. No big deal. But we should be in position to speak with him at the top of the hour. Looking forward to doing just that. I know he's had plenty of conversations regarding scrimmage number two. I know we talked about it in length yesterday. If you guys missed that, feel free to go back and watch that. You can find it on our YouTube channel, of course. We also stream live on X and on the Tide 100.9 Facebook page. But if you ever miss anything and you want to watch it, just go to our YouTube channel and just find that video from yesterday. You can watch the whole thing. Definitely skip through it because it's going to be the whole show. And I understand some people don't want to sit through 2+ hours. No big deal. We also upload all of our, you know, previously recorded shows on Tide 100.9's website, any podcast platform. You can find us as well, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that stuff. And if you do find yourself there, leave us a good review, man. We definitely would appreciate that. That said, Reed, I know a lot of people were excited to be able to get, I guess, the cameras back on the practice field. If you think about it, they kind of cut down on this. There was only one other open practice, and that was at the very beginning. I believe it was like the first week of spring ball. You know, the media hasn't been able to see these guys in person since then. They've been able to speak to them after practice, however, haven't been able to see them. So plenty of clips coming out of these guys going through drills, which I think fans really enjoy. I know the football team puts out videos and highlights, but when the media is out there, I mean, you get a little bit closer glimpse at, you know, these players specifically. Now, to be fair, this is just indie drill. You know, they're very simple things going on. You're not going to see any team, any 11-on-11. You're not going to see any of that. But for those wondering maybe how these guys look, I mean, you hear all about some of the new transfers, right? Their statures, how big they are. You get a glimpse at all that. So I'm going to throw a lot of those clips here on the stream as we talk and go through a number of things. And we'll definitely rock and roll from there. We didn't get to hit on this yesterday. We were so I guess, indulge in the whole football conversation. But we did end up crowning a national champion in college basketball. Ended up being the team that put us out of the playoffs. So similar to football, Indiana, you know, beat Alabama, goes on to win it all. Well, similar deal with basketball. Michigan went on to defeat UConn in the men's NCAA tournament. Reed, any thoughts on that game, man? Did you get to watch it last night?
I did, yeah. Believe it or not, I think the most like intriguing factor was the fact that Michigan only hit two threes and still proceeded to win the game. Like, they hit their first one with like 13 minutes left in the game, and they hit one right toward the tail end of the game, which I believe was by Trey McKinney. And I don't know, just, you know, with our whole philosophy on like shooting a lot of threes in NATO's system, to see a team only make two and still, you know, outbeat a UConn team that's, you know, pretty physical, was kind of surprising to me.
Yeah, and it, you know, you mentioned that Michigan team. We know, you know, how they're built. We got to see them firsthand. I will say, you know, number one, it makes you kind of maybe take a second look at that loss to Michigan. I know a lot of people were upset about it. You go into the half, I think up by two against Michigan. Now the second half was a different story. They did their thing and they knocked us out of the tournament. But just seeing how good this team is, like you mentioned, not having to be relying on the threes, knowing, you know, just how well built that roster is, kind of makes you wonder how we could end up maybe navigating our roster moving forward. And speaking of our basketball roster, the transfer portal is open with basketball, and there's definitely been some movement. I know a lot of people were definitely a little upset by the news yesterday that came out about Aiden Sherrill entering his name in the transfer portal. Now, it is believed that Alabama is definitely going to be pursuing him and maybe not completely giving up on that, but we'll have to see. But it was reported by Joe Tipton yesterday that Aiden Sherrill, in fact, planned to enter the transfer portal. Now, when they say plan, that is a little bit different than officially and formally entering the portal. Now, from what I've heard, it sounds like, you know, Alabama is definitely going to see what they can do. I don't think it's a done deal, but the Detroit Michigan native did average 11 points last season, 6.2 rebounds, just over two blocks per game. Now, it is interesting when you think about this. A lot of people kind of were, I wouldn't say complaining about Sherrill, but you know how much talent and potential he has, but he's not necessarily the most physical guy when it comes to being a front court player. And he likes to shoot himself, but he's very effective. But I think with, you know, continued development and growth, I mean, I think this is a guy you definitely want to retain and find a way to keep on your team. But I will also throw in here, and it's not to sound like it's like, oh, well, if they're not Crimson, forget them. No, I'm not saying that. But at the same time, that does open up some room and some space, not just physically, but also financially, for you to maybe go out and get somebody who could potentially do some of the things that you need him to do. Again, I thought he got a lot better as things went on, but if you just really, you know, look at how he plays compared to some of these other front court players that are going to be more physical, probably attack the glass a little bit better, maybe, you know, he does end up walking and you find somebody that is a little bit more of what you truly need for this basketball team. But we'll have to see. And I want to say there's another guy that also hit the portal. Reed, do you have that guy's name? I'm drawing a blank off the top of my head.
It's going to be Taylor Balboen.
That's right. Thank you. Transfer from Florida State. So he's back in the transfer portal. So Alabama already looking at replacing two of some of their front court players from last season, which, like I mentioned, I mean, you know, of course you don't want to see that, especially at a position that you know has been a weak point, and you probably want to retain as much as you can, even if they're not perfect. I mean, you could probably build around that. But at the same time, I guess if you view it from the perspective that maybe it opens the doors to get somebody who could be a little bit more effective the way you need them. I will say this, though. It is kind of interesting because, and we talked about this, or at least I was talking about it maybe with my brother. You know, it makes you wonder. I mean, we just haven't had the best luck when it comes to big men, at least over the past several years. Are we having a hard time getting them here because of, is that strictly financially based? And you just know, like, a lot of schools are willing to pay big bucks for these big men. I feel like big men in basketball are similar to, like, big men in football. Sometimes hard to come, not sometimes, pretty hard to come by. Definitely hard to find some really good ones. And when you do, they're going to charge a premium. But could it be a situation where potentially you're struggling to recruit those guys because of the way you play? Now, I'm not necessarily going and saying, oh, man, I'm not criticizing Coach O's system too much here, right? I mean, because it clearly can be successful. I know one could argue that, is it built to win at all? I mean, I guess we don't really know that answer just yet. I mean, I feel like they're right on the cusp of it. I think they're right around the corner. But I just wondered that. And to me, that's an interesting question. I mean, is it harder to get some good big men because the way we play things, maybe it kind of, I don't know, it's a little bit of a turnoff for some of those big guys. Or is it we're just not really hitting on these guys? Maybe we're not necessarily, I don't know, landing the right guys. Maybe our evaluation might be a little off. I personally don't know. You know, I'm a little bit more of a football guy, but curious what you guys think about this whole deal. We'll talk a little bit about that and more. We're definitely going to talk about some football. But first, we got to hit a timeout, and then we'll dive into all these conversations. Again, 205-342-9904. If you guys want to jump in on the phone lines, go ahead and do it before the top of the hour because we do plan on getting Clint at that time. And then we'll open it back up when we finish with Clint. But just want to give you guys that heads up. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
New location, corner of Skyland East Boulevard and Palisades Drive. TuscaloosaMazda.com.
TuscaloosaMazda.com.
For details, visit TuscaloosaMazda.com.
Roll Tide, the best sports talk, period. Your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Back into this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. And I know, you know, the title says, on the stream, by the way, I know our radio listeners are like, what title are you talking about? The latest intel following Alabama's final open practice. We're going to get into that. We're going to talk plenty about Alabama football. We got, you know, Clint coming up at 12, top of the hour. We're going to do plenty of that. So we got a few minutes to spare here, Reed. And this is kind of just coming to my head as we were talking about this whole basketball conversation. Aiden Schrell entering the transfer portal. Also, Bowl. Is it Bowl? Am I mixing him up?
You're good. It's Bowl Bowen.
I was about to say, I think I'm mixing him up with other guys, man. There's a bunch of Bowl Bowls, I feel like, that also play basketball. Anyway, thank you. Bowl Bowen and Sherelle both in the portal. We've been talking about that, but it kind of led me to the point where I was kind of wondering, man, like, and we've had this conversation before back when they talked about revenue sharing, but I think it's a great time to bring it back up because we talk so much about, you know, just particularly looking at football and how that works, right? Like, you know, you got the Texas, you got the Ohio State, you got the Oregon's, and we're only talking about how much they're putting towards football, which you expect Alabama should be close in that conversation. At least that's the expectation. However, it does make you wonder if Alabama isn't quite there, could one of the reasons also be the fact that you have a pretty dang good basketball team? When I say pretty dang good, we're talking about a team that consistently is at least making the Sweet 16. That's a very successful basketball program. Your head coach is now one of the top five highest compensated coaches in the sport. So it's evident that you have to find a way to allocate resources over there. And I'm seeing you guys talk in the chat about a number of players that are potentially going to be targets for Alabama this portal cycle in terms of basketball. But then when you start seeing some of the numbers that are going out, man, and it's like, all right, well, this guy's asking $2, maybe $3 million. You know, right now with no true cap, right? And get this is why this executive order could end up being a really big deal. You know, schools are finding a way around this stuff. So even though the revenue cap should be around $21 million, and if you were strictly going off of that, a $3 million center, that's a big hit to your quote-unquote cap, especially when you're talking about, hey, you might want to pay your quarterback on your football team that's also very competitive. Several million dollars. We're talking about you could have $6-7 million tied up in just two players, one from football and one from basketball, leaving you with maybe what, $14 or so million to work with across all athletics. Now, that is if you really are operating at a true cap with revenue share, and we're not really including any of the external NIL deals, which leads me, I know we're kind of going all over the place, but stick with me. That's why this executive order could end up being really, really substantial if you think about it, because if everybody's really held to that limit, and that does include all sports, that definitely would cause a little bit of constraints. At least I feel like with a school like Alabama that has a really good football program, a really good basketball program, schools that might not care so much about one or the other, it's tough. I mean, I was Michigan. They just won the national championship. We know that they take football very seriously. I feel like they'd kind of be under that umbrella a little bit. Granted, I would say our football team is granted, they won the most. They're the team that's won the most recent national championship. But we all know I'd put Alabama ahead of Michigan when it comes to competitiveness in the sport of football. But they still are kind of under that umbrella, two good programs. And I'm sure there's a number of other ones that fall under it, but it just makes you wonder, man, like, could that executive order, quote-unquote, maybe work against Alabama if it does, in fact, end up playing out the way I think it could? I don't know. It's just kind of something I'm thinking about. Reed, are you following what I'm putting out there in terms of, like, if we are eventually put at that point, which it sounds like that's what we're heading to with the executive order, and it's like, hey, there is a hard cap on it. And let's just say they bump it up to $25 million. You get $25 million across all sports. That's it. Now, there is still true NIL, which we know. They can still work some authentic deals without it being kind of the shadiness that they're doing right now through the collectives. That's literally what's going on. But do you feel like if that is the case, that this executive order could work against a school like Alabama that has two really competitive programs in football and basketball?
Well, Christian, I guess now that you kind of phrase it like that, I think it might, you know, but I'm really trying to think of, like, when you were referencing, you know, how two schools could have two premier programs, right? I kind of think back to, like, almost like the Big East in basketball, how you have some schools like the St. John's, the Villanovas, the Seton Halls that don't have a football team, and so they're able to, you know, obligate some more of that, you know, that revenue share to one specific sport, you know, rather than balancing between the two of both, like, Alabama with football and basketball. So I think, yeah, I think it might actually end up, like you were kind of pointing out, might just hurt Bama.
And maybe it's not going to play. Honestly, it's probably not going to play out as drastic as the way that I'm presenting it. But I'm just saying, technically, that is kind of how it would, at least it's how it's supposed to play out. Yes, because I see, you know, we got a chat here on our YouTube section asking about, does that mean Alabama's going to have to decide how to allocate it, you know, versus a school that, who, you know, might only be a basketball school, like you said. Yes, that's the idea that I'm thinking of. I think that could end up being a possibility that could hinder programs like Alabama, Michigan. Maybe I'm missing some more. I mean, I'm not sure how good Oregon and Ohio State's basketball teams are consistently. I know that, I mean, I'm sure they've been pretty solid, you know, through the years. You get what I'm saying? But I don't know if it's like us. I feel like our basketball program, I mean, we is talking about Sweet 16s pretty frequently. I feel like that's pretty dang solid. And we all know football, man, the expectation here is no different. The expectation is, I mean, you should be playing for quote unquote a national championship pretty much year in and year out. I'm just starting to think, like, man, maybe that executive order might be a little tricky. But knowing this administration, I mean, they're never going to let Alabama just fall behind. So I don't think it'll ever play out like that. But there'll probably be something that they look to. But I don't know, man. I don't know. It just made me kind of have that thought when I was thinking about it. I'm curious what you guys think about that. But we can definitely dive into that here in a little bit later, I guess, when we really dive into the executive order stuff later on in the show. Going back to football here for a second. Reed, open practice today. There's been a number of clips going around, guys going through indie drills. I'm seeing clips of quarterbacks, linebackers, defensive line, all over the place. Speaking about the defensive line, it looks like a number of guys that were either limited or just didn't really participate in the scrimmage back out there. Seeing Terrence Crean kind of go through some of those drills. Didn't see much of him, if him at all. I don't think he really scrimmaged unless I missed it, but he was back out there, which is good. Kind of makes me wonder kind of who's going to be available for a day, knowing that, you know, Bray Hubbard, Zapien Brown, those guys have also been limited throughout the spring. We know Lennon Simmons hasn't been partaking either. But with that said, real quick, because I know we only got a couple minutes before we hit this timeout, it makes me wonder, when you go watch a day, Reed, if there are a number of guys that aren't, you know, taking part in that a day scrimmage, is that, how are you going to be able to, when you look at the team, right, when you're making your assessment, do you feel like you're still going to be able to come away with like a full assessment of what you think this team could be, knowing that there might be a number of guys that are held out of it, or are you going to kind of maybe alter your expectations for a day? I'm just curious, kind of maybe from your perspective.
Well, I think it's more so just depending on which guys that we know going into it that won't be available. Now, if it's like a certain group that we know, like, let's just say, for example, like the offensive line, you know, then I can't go full critical on, hey, this is my expectations. But if we know like a certain group, like the secondary is going to be fully healthy, then my expectations obviously are going to be a lot higher. So I think it really just depends on the said guys and if a majority of those guys are in a specific group, like it's the DBs, the receivers, you know, which group is lacking the most. And I think that's kind of how I adjust my expectations.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I don't know why I was thinking that, but I was like, now that I think about it, because I didn't even pay attention really until like probably midway through Friday. I'm like, man, I just realized they're missing probably two guys that are deemed starters up front, which to be fair, they actually played well up front on Friday, in my opinion. And that was given that two of the starters were out, something to take into consideration. And then in the secondary, I talked about it. And you had a number of guys, you know, Bray and Xavier Brown, two of your, you know, most, I guess, significant contributors from last season in terms of production. They weren't even, you know, partaking in Friday's scrimmage, and they were, that defense still looked pretty good. So I had to kind of go back and I guess readjust kind of how I was viewing the scrimmage Friday, because initially I didn't really pay that close attention to it when I first was there. Then I realized, wait, hold on, this guy's not in, this guy's not in. You know, there's probably something to take into consideration that come fall when everybody's back healthy, probably going to look like a whole different unit, but definitely going to look a little bit different than kind of what I've been able to see over the last, you know, this spring, right? So definitely something to consider. We got to hit a timeout. We come back, we definitely keep talking some more football. We'll throw some clips on there, talk about some of the things coming out of today's open practice. Plus, we will get to hear from a couple of guys. I know Jackson Lloyd spoke to the media following practice, as well as Red Morgan, who's been making a lot of noise. A lot of people definitely, I guess he's been turning a lot of heads in spring practice. So we'll hear from both of those guys coming up right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more in
million miles away. Explore what's possible. Ask your doctor about Tremfya. Visit Tremfya.com or call 1-800-526-7736.
Stay locked in, Tide fans. This is Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're going to talk a little bit more about some football now that kind of got that whole basketball and executive stuff out of the way, at least for the time being. Now, I definitely want to bring that executive stuff back up in a moment when we get a chance to really listen to some stuff and respond to it, kind of go into it a little bit more in depth. But let's do this. Let's go ahead and let's hear some player interviews from practice, and we'll kind of talk about some of the latest kind of coming out of practice. I'm curious about this one, man. Jackson Lloyd, I believe it's his first time speaking to the media. I don't know if it's kind of ever, because he was a young guy last year, but I definitely know this spring is his first time speaking to the media. And I know there's probably going to be some interesting questions that they ask him, given the fact that he was named a starter by his offensive coordinator just following the third day of spring practice before they really even had a true full padded practice. And then having Coach DeBoer kind of come back out and say, hey, you know, it's a day-to-day thing. Everybody's competing on a daily basis. You know, that's how we like to do things around here. And now we get to hear from the man himself. So let's go ahead and do that. We got Jackson Lloyd speaking to the media following practice number 11. And this is what he had to say.
Practice been like for you?
I mean, it's been great getting out here and just competing with all my best friends, really. So, I mean, we've been, since day one coming in, we've been having a mindset. So we just got to get better. And we haven't got complacent. So we just got to keep putting pedal the metal and keep working. So
how's life changed for you assuming you started role as left tackle?
I mean, nothing changed. Since the day I got in here, I've been trying to be the best player I could be. So, I mean, I didn't really pay attention to any of that. I kind of kept the same mindset. Nothing changes for me.
Did Coach Grubb kind of pull you aside and have that conversation with you, or is it kind of just been like where you're rotating?
I mean, he didn't sit me down or anything and say that. But I mean, like I said, I don't really pay attention to any of that. I feel like if you start paying attention too much to that stuff, it gets to your head. So I've just been blocking that out and just coming in and working every day.
What's been his message to you this spring?
Like I said, coming in, working every day, getting better. So,
how would you describe Coach Clem's coaching style? What's he like in that room so far?
I mean, he's been doing great. He comes in, it brings a lot of energy on the field, coaches up really hard, explains everything really well, like what we're doing, why we're doing it. And then off the field, he's super easy to talk to. And then when you're up in his office one-on-one, easy to talk to, and then you get feedback really well. So I think it's a really good connection we have.
You say getting better. What areas of your game are you trying to get better at?
You can always work on everything. So I've been trying to improve everything, obviously. But I said the two main things are just using my hands better in the run and pass game. I feel like I've taken strides in the right direction, but obviously a lot of work to keep doing.
How did you process your freshman season? I mean, was it disappointing because of playing time, or did you see it more as a learning experience that you needed?
Obviously I want to come in here and play, but I was behind what I believe is the best tackle in the country, and with Kaden Proctor, and you know, he taught me so much on the field and off the field. So it was a little disappointing I didn't get a play, but I kind of took a step back and realized where I was. I felt like it was successful, and looking at it is how much I got better during that time.
What's something that you, something important that you could not do last year that you think you can do now?
I think, like I said, using my hands, that's been a point of emphasis from when Clem got here. I knew I had to work on it in the offseason, but the way Clem came in and started teaching it, I feel like I've really improved that part of my game.
Have you had any conversations with Caden this spring, kind of stepping into his role? Has he given you any advice about?
I mean, I talked to him a little bit. It's kind of, I mean, like I said, coming in here, taking one day at a time, don't let the moment get too big. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Just coming and be the same person every day, trying to get better.
How do you think the offensive line, just with so many new faces, has been gelling together through the spring?
I think we've been coming together super well. I mean, we're super, super tight off the field. I think that's helping a lot. We've only known each other for, 3 months. We're just continuing to get tighter every day. And everyone coming in and all the new people coming in and people coming back, all the same mindset. We come here trying to get better every day. So, I mean, we're all like-minded, so I think it's going good.
What are you guys trying to get better at right now as a group?
I mean, like I said, you can always improve on everything. But obviously a point of emphasis right now is getting more movement in the run game. I feel like that's something we got to all come together, and we've been coming together and just keep getting better at that.
What's the key to getting more movement in the run game?
I think it's a couple things. Obviously technique is a big part of it, but then just your mentality come off the ball. So for those two things.
Other than Yonsei, who are the pass rushers that have impressed you this spring?
I mean, I've been going against them all for a while. They're all great pass rushers. I mean, Dez coming in, he's been good. He gave me a good look. All of them really. So I don't know. They're all good. So.
What are you most excited about 8A this weekend and kind of getting scrimmage in front of more people?
It's always great to be in Brian Denny. So looking forward to getting back out there, and then get some fans to fill the stadium. It's going to be a fun time, so I'm excited for it.
What do you thought of Nick Brooks and what he's brought so far?
He's brought a lot of energy. I mean, since the day he came in, we started winter workouts, he's been going all out. So I really like to see that on him. And he's just continuing to get better every day, coming here with the same mindset, just trying to get better every day, finding the little things and his technique and just off-the-field stuff, watching film, all that, trying to get better. So I like what I've seen so far.
What about Ethan Fields? What did you see from him?
Same thing, really. Since the day all the new guys got in, really, they've all, just put their head down and started working. So, same thing with him.
Last questions?
You mentioned about Kaden Proctor in your eyes being, the best tackle. What makes him the best tackle in your eyes?
I obviously got to see the way he tacks everything. In the weight room, he's one of the hardest workers I've ever seen. How he approached just everything on the field, film, treatment, all that stuff. And then, on the field speaks for itself. You turn the tape on, you watch him play. In my eyes, he's the clear number one tackle in the country.
You played some different sports in high school. How has that helped you kind of be athletic on
the outside air tackle.
I think it's helped a lot, especially basketball. I mean, at the end of the day, it's kind of like playing defense, but I mean, you just tweak a little bit of things. You got to use your hands, so I feel like it relates a lot to basketball.
You played baseball too.
I did. I played baseball. I feel like for baseball too, like, I mean, playing defense, pretty much lateral quickness, kind of similar. So, yes, sir.
The guy who last had your job was using some unique ways, his hands carrying the ball. Can you be used in that similar way if need be?
I mean, definitely if need be. I got a couple reps of that in high school, but I mean, definitely always going to be open. So,
position you play in baseball?
I play third base, first base, and pitcher. So,
if you weren't playing tackle or offensive line, what would you play?
Ooh, I probably, you talking about football or you talking about tight end for sure.
You got good hands?
Yeah, no doubt.
Caleb, watch out.
Yeah. Nah, me and Caleb, we're super tight. I mean, I joke around with him a little bit. I mean, we were talking today that if I was a little slimmer, I could play tight end. So, yeah.
Did you know any of those California kids? Austin, Caleb,
I did. I didn't know them to the level I know them now, obviously. But, I mean, knew them, talked to them a little bit, but nothing crazy. So,
a year in Alabama, what's the adjustment been like for you guys, for you specifically?
Yeah, it's a little different from California, obviously. But at the end of the day, like, I came here to play football. I didn't come here from the outside things. I just came here to be the best player I could be. So, I mean, I couldn't ask for anything else.
So there you have it. That was Jackson Lloyd speaking to the media today following practice number 11. Reed, I'm going to give you the floor, man. Anything stand out to you from Jackson? They asked him about kind of his mindset or his mentality, how it may have been affected, if at all, after hearing that he was the left tackle, at least according to Ryan Grubb. A little bit different picture painted by head coach Kalen DeBoer, but anything stand out to you besides him? I mean, he definitely is quite the athlete. Talked about his baseball and basketball background. Guy believes he can play tight end if they need him to. Now, he's definitely going to have to hit the weight room and go visit with Bree, the nutritionist, if that's going to ever happen. But tell me, anything stick out to you?
Christian, I think two things specifically. I think how you point out his mindset, the fact that he, even though, like, they were asking him questions about, like, hey, like, how are you kind of going into this with this, you know, starting mentality? And he's, like, kind of foregoing that. He's like, I just came here to work and, you know, improve myself every day. I do kind of like that. I think having that kind of mindset every day is ultimately what's going to improve him and not have, like, not saying that he would, but I feel like if someone has that mindset of, oh, yeah, I'm already the starter at, like, left tackle, I wouldn't say an ego develops, but something kind of, it's more of a, like, internal thing of, hey, I don't really have to work because this is, like, I've already got this solidified. I like that. And then as well as him pointing out that they all, in order to make the run game work better, they all have to buy in into the system. And I honestly, like, of course, you know, like your dad says, you know, we can't judge anything based upon what they say and how practice goes. We got to see how it goes on the field. But if what he's saying translates on the field, then I think we might see some improvement in the run game.
I hope so. Definitely you're going to need that. But like he mentioned, right, run game, even if you're talking about defense, trying to stop the run, or obviously the offense running the football, it's all about a mindset first and foremost. But you got to have that dog mentality. I mean, that's you already know it's all about physicality, you know, mano y mano guys, you know, defeating blocks, the offensive line trying to get pushed. Sounds like as a unit, they continue to try to work at that, which hopefully that's the case. And I know immediately everybody jumps straight to the whole, the weight room, man. It's the weight room. We got to get stronger. That's not the issue, man. I mean, I'm telling you guys from experience, these guys are probably stronger than a lot of the guys that I even probably played with, given the way that they work out, man. Coach Ballou does, a phenomenal job when it comes to strength training, the advancement of the equipment, not just the equipment, but even the exercises that they do. Listen, I was a kinesiology major for my undergrad. I know a little bit or two about that stuff, and they do a fine job there. I think it's really technique-based. And the positive thing is, well, even though through the first few weeks of spring, it's definitely not where it needs to be, they've got a ways to go. The good news is you hear them speak on Coach Clem. A lot of them speak very highly of him, not just the energy that he brings, but really more so the fact that this guy is a really good teacher. He does a really good job of teaching fundamentals. I mean, you're talking about a coach that has coached on, you know, both levels, the college level and on the NFL level, and also was a Super Bowl winning player during his time in the league. So hopefully that can continue to advance. We definitely need it. I will say, just speaking on Jackson, he looked good in Friday's scrimmage. Like, I was impressed with a lot that he did. Now, granted, again, he still has some work to do. I think he can get a little bit stronger, be a little bit more physical. at times, like he mentioned, maybe some hand usage, some small technique stuff. But in terms of the athlete that he is, I mean, he's got good footwork. You can see the athleticism when he's both in pass pro, but also in the run game when he's tasked with doing some zone schemes and he's having to, you know, move laterally. I mean, the athletic background, the dual sport, or I guess tri-sport athlete background, definitely helps him. So I think he's a solid, you know, left tackle that we can definitely build around, and he can definitely keep improving and helping make this offensive line better. But it's going to ultimately be decided on the group as a whole, right? We've figured that out pretty quickly, man. You can't just have a few good pieces, man. They've got to gel and work together, and I think that's going to be the big task that Clem has this upcoming season. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we go to the other side of the football. We'll hear from Red Morgan, a guy that's been turning heads throughout spring. I don't think there's any surprises there, but curious to get his thoughts. I'm assuming on him and this defense throughout the spring. We'll do that when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Mike Dettillier, WWL, the Big 870. We'll talk to All-American offensive lineman Mike Johnson's going to join us, and we'll have practice observations from Alabama's morning practice right here starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays.
Services for our complete range of duct services, 205-339-6540 or at adamsfcs.com. Adams Services.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases. Known for real care and relentless advocacy.
758-2238 or email info@historictuscaloosa.org. Walk through history this April in the heart of Tuscaloosa.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
What a beautiful afternoon. The sky mostly sunny, the high 74. Clear and cool tonight, the low 49. The weather stays dry tomorrow and Thursday. Lots of sunshine both days. Afternoon highs between 72 and 75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 71 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Tide 100.9.
Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Good little conversation we were having during the break about some of these young guys and maybe how they could carve out some roles and how it can not only help themselves, right? Anytime you can give a guy a role and kind of keep him happy, that's always a good thing. Matter of fact, I think one of our coaches might have made that comment recently. But it also could help out the team, especially when they can do something that some of the older guys or more experienced players don't necessarily do as well. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But first, I want to stick to the script and listen to Red Morgan, who spoke to the media following practice number 11. Again, Red has been having a phenomenal spring. Definitely, you know, put in the work in the offseason, put on a few pounds. He's not the biggest guy, but he plays a lot bigger than his size will tell you. And I think he's going to step up being one of the leaders on this defense. So let's hear what the – I want to say, is he going on a senior year, Reed? Is that right? Is he going to be a senior this year?
I'm not exactly sure. Is he a senior?
I don't even know. I was just trying to make it sound good to say, let's hear what the senior has to say. But that's why you don't try to do that when you don't have it pulled up. Let's hear what Red Morgan has to say following spring practice number 11.
It's been good, man. You know, just trying to be consistent, the most consistent process I ever been, you know, just going 1-0 every day.
What's your mindset this season after coming on late last year and kind of being able to step into a starting role?
Just being the best player I could be, you know, like I said, being the most consistent player as possible, you know, just going out here every day, just, you know, getting better at something, you know what I'm saying? So that's something big for me.
Where do you think you grew the most over the course of last season?
Consistency. Yeah.
You've kind of moved around in the defense backfield a lot. Just speak on your versatility.
Yeah, just me, my ability to just play anywhere. And, you know what I'm saying? The coaches just trust me to play anywhere. You know, I appreciate them, you know what I'm saying, for putting that trust in me to go anywhere and play anywhere in the secondary. So shout out to the coaches.
What do you like about playing Husky in particular?
Just being physical, you know what I'm saying? Being able to play in the ball, then being able to, you know, go guard the best receivers out there, you know. So
do you feel like a veteran?
I still got more learning to do, you know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna say I'm a vet, but I feel like I got better in some aspects, you know.
What's the biggest, you know, whether it's, you know, a new guy like Jordan, whether it's like maybe a guy like Carmelo who's first, you know, getting his keep up with you guys, like what's the best piece of advice for your success here?
Just going 1-0 every day, you know. It's gonna be times where you know you're gonna have a bad play. Just make sure you just go to the next play. Don't think about the last play. Just focus on the next play.
You said you had some learning to do. Mm-hmm. What's the biggest thing you need to learn?
You know, just going out there, you know what I'm saying? Just being better at reading, you know what I'm saying? Just split a receiver's wet. They do, you know what I'm saying? You know, down blocks, how I trigger, where I fit, you know, different things of that nature. I feel like everybody, you know what I'm saying, that played the Husky position, that's, you know what I'm saying, we got guys moving around. So, like, I feel like everybody that's been in that position, you know, Chuck, you know, he's grew tremendously, you know what I'm saying. You know, so shout out to Chuck, you know what I'm saying. You got Drake Kirkpatrick moving around a little bit, so shout out to those guys.
Out of the incoming freshmen, who stood out the most in your eyes?
Oh, we got a lot of guys, man, you know what I'm saying. You heard a lot about Ivan Taylor, you know what I'm saying, Jairi, you know what I'm saying. We got good guys, but I feel like all the freshmen, they came in, you know what I'm saying, made an impact on his defense.
Is it hard to adjust, like, to going from corner to nickel, like what Chuck's doing, or is it pretty?
I wouldn't say it's hard, you know what I'm saying? I've been balling out my whole life in just another position, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, just going out there, just being the best player I can be, you know what I'm saying?
How do you describe your mindset and what meaning to describe as a small defensive back?
I don't too much get into all that, you know what I'm saying? You know, being a little smaller on that side of, you know, you just got to have a different mindset of things, you know what I'm saying? Approach things different. You know, I don't let things like that get to me. I just go out there and play my game. I'm the physical player I am, so I just, you know.
How would you describe your style of play?
I say just I'm a hard-nosed, you know what I'm saying, physical player. Put me anywhere on the field, you know, I can do whatever.
Is there an NFL player that you model your game after?
Yeah, definitely. Brian Branch, sure.
What about Brian?
Just, you know, his versatility, you know.
I literally, as soon as he finished his clip, I was going to say, he reminds me of a small version of Brian Branch. Promise to God I was going to say that. I know, but listen, look, you know what? Just so you guys don't think I'm capping, that's what I just pulled up. I had Brian Branch's page pulled up because I was like, I wonder what Branch's height and weight is. I know he's obviously Branch is way thicker than him, yeah, but I was wondering their heights.
I was just going to say, because I don't know, I believe you. I was like, I bet you he's going to say a former Bama guy.
I was thinking in my head, even before he asked that question, I was like, man, the more I think about it, because I wanted to respond to him talking, I was like, who does he remind me of? I was like, man, he kind of plays like a small version of Branch. Height wise, I have to compare him. I don't even remember. I think Red maybe, I don't know, maybe a little bit shorter than 6 foot. I'm not 100% sure. I know he's way lighter, but the way they play with that physicality, being able to come down, you know what I mean? They're physical.
Yeah, I was going to say, read on the like official website of Alabama Athletics, is so able to 6'1", 189.
Okay, so he also is 6 foot. So there you go. So both same height, at least their list is the same height. but definitely a weight difference. And it sounds like it's only about a 15 or so pound difference at this point now that he's put on a couple pounds. But, dang, that's crazy, though. But that's a great player to model your game after, because me and my dad were really high on Brian Branch, especially when he was here and coming out in the NFL draft. And we all know, man, this guy's clearly still doing the same things he's doing here in the National Football League with the Detroit Lions. But anyway, I just thought that was crazy because I was like, I literally was just about to say that.
His physicality, you know what I'm saying? His ability to come out the edge, you know, cover, you know what I'm saying? Stuff like that.
What's exciting about getting to have an eight-day game back, like an actual game as opposed to not practicing?
I say it's very exciting because, like, you know what I'm saying? We don't get too many scrimmages, you know what I'm saying? So just going out there and be able to showcase in front of everybody, you know what I'm saying, in front of the fans, really what we can do, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like that's exciting.
The players that were around for the last eight-day game a couple of years ago, have y'all talked about it being back in an actual game format?
I don't know.
We were walking around practice. You could hear came along saying more violence. How much has he been emphasizing that in the physicality so far this spring?
Oh, yeah, man. That's a part of our Swansea mentality, you know, violence, you know what I'm saying? We just got to go out there and just have a violent mentality, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
How do you evaluate how violent, how physical this defense has been so far this spring?
Just the way we use our hands, the way we take on blocks, the way we tackle, you know what I'm saying? That's something.
Well, Kenwan said last year that you were one of the more violent tacklers he's seen. Is that just a mentality or what?
Just a mentality. You know what I'm saying? When people say you're the smallest DB, you know what I'm saying? How that got to you, haven't no choice but to, you know what I'm saying?
Is that violence rubbing off on any of your teammates?
Oh, most definitely. The whole defense, for sure.
How do you think you and your unit played in the scrimmage last week?
Oh, I think we played awesome, you know what I'm saying? We went out there, you know what I'm saying? We started out, you know what I'm saying, good. You know what I'm saying? It's things that we got to work on, you know what I'm saying? But overall, I think we did a good job.
Last question. In this day and time, you got guys moving around, going to different schools, not wanting to stay patient. Why have you stayed so patient and committed to Alabama?
This has always been a dream for me to just come, you know what I'm saying, play here at the University of Alabama. So that played a big part in just, you know what I'm saying, me trusting Coach Womack, Coach Mo, and his staff, you know what I'm saying? You know, Coach Mo always had trusted me since day one, Womack, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, so I didn't really want to go nowhere else. You know, I could have been a three on the depth chart, two or something like that. So just them trusting me and, you know what I'm saying, me just being able to play here at my dream school.
So there you have it. That was Alabama defensive back Red Morgan speaking to the media following spring practice 11. We got to hit a top hour break. When we come back, we'll be joined by none other than Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
Michigan won the national title in men's basketball Monday night, 69-63 over UConn. Michigan from three-point range started 0-for-10, but Connecticut on three-pointers in the second half was 1-for-12 at one point. Elliot Cadeau, named most outstanding player, finished with 19 points. North Carolina's new coach reportedly will be Michael Malone. In the WNBA, Angel Reese was traded from Chicago to Atlanta. To the NBA, New York a winner at Atlanta, 108-105. Jalen Brunson, 30 points, 13 assists. San Antonio beat Philadelphia 115-102, although Spurs star Victor Wembanyama left with a bruised rib. Denver in overtime defeated Portland. NHL Buffalo 4-2 over Tampa Bay. In baseball, the Dodgers hit five homers and won 14-2 at Toronto. Blue Jays with just five hits. Washington with six runs in the eighth beat St. Louis 9-6.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. 393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start.
Roll Tide.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit Lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud
former home base in Birmingham, Alabama.
We are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're talking the latest intel coming out of Alabama's final spring practice of the, final open spring practice, I should say, of the spring period. Clint was up there, and Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson joins us now. Welcome in, Clint. And I know we talked briefly kind of about maybe any observations you might have had, but want to give the people any little updates. I know it's just a media viewing portion that shows indie drills and position work. So not like any team drills going on where you can tell a whole bunch, but anything that maybe stood out to a little bit. I know you talked about the D-line, and it's always fun listening to Roach and those guys get on their players. And so that's, D-line's always a fun group to watch go through drills, I feel like, because it's high intensity. There's normally a lot of yelling and striking bags. Some other guys in indie, they're kind of trying to look cute and stuff. But D-line, man, we're getting active over there. Anything stand out to you, Clint, when you're up there?
Yeah, number one, I think, you know, just seeing Freddie Roach work with that group, you know, he always picks out somebody who it almost seems like he's picking on him a little bit, but there's a method behind the madness, or a method to the madness. And we've seen, as we were talking about before we hop back on here, Keon Keeley was that guy a couple of years ago. They put a lot of effort and energy into, you know, pulling the most out of him that they possibly could. Steve Bumwa this past offseason, last spring, you saw a lot as far as Freddie Roach getting after him and correcting things that he was doing wrong. And now you're starting to see him take that next step. And I saw him with Mari Johnson quite a bit today, the true freshman who I think is going to end up being a good player for Alabama in due time, just teaching him the ropes. And you know, he's not there. Obviously he's a football coach. He's not soft on him by any means, but just watching that entire group go through, I mean, you know, Terrence Green looks fantastic. Definitely looks like he's leaned up a little bit. Devin Tompkins physically looks great. I mean, just across the board, all those guys look really solid. And then as far as watching the off-ball linebackers, I thought, you know, Xavier Griffin looked good. Little lean for sure. Definitely going to need to continue to put some mass on, but I thought he looked pretty good out there the way he was moving. You know, obviously Luke Metz looks great. I think he's put on fantastic weight. Definitely looks like an SEC linebacker. Just across the board, I watched mostly defense today. Did watch a little bit of the offensive line, but, you know, it was a great observational period for us.
Yeah, and you mentioned Xavier Griffin, and I kind of want to piggyback off that for a second because I was talking about this earlier in the show. Somebody had asked about him in the chat, and, you know, to me, he just reminds me of kind of how we had Rashawn Evans my freshman year in 2014. And what I mean by that is that they're different players, different kind of body types. Rashawn wasn't an inside backer at that point in time. Rashawn was in the outside linebacker room with me. But one thing I think that Xavier Griffin could potentially grow into, and I haven't seen, at least for myself just yet, any signs of this necessarily being concrete, but I would not be shocked in the slightest if this starts working to be a thing. But with his natural athleticism, you mentioned being lean, which he definitely is, but I feel like there could be a role that he could carve out, even if it's on third downs, kind of like what we did with Rashawn. Because in 2014, Rashawn and myself, granted I was redshirt and Rashawn actually was playing, he offered something that we didn't really have in that room at the time. And that was a true quick twitch, explosive guy off the edge. Right now, I know you have Yonze Pierre, but for me, and this is my opinion, but after going to the scrimmage, I mean, Zulu, I think he can be effective as a rusher, but he's a longer, bigger guy. I mean, he's like 6'6", 250. I mean, like some people consider his skill set quick twitch. But for me, he rushes more a little bit, kind of like Terrell Lewis a little bit. You know what I mean? A longer body. And even Yonze at this point, Yonze's pushing like 250. He's gotten bigger. And Justin Hill, the edge setter, we know, I mean, he's phenomenal, but he's still coming along as a pass rusher. They don't really have a guy that has that true, real deal quick twitch that I feel like is like a burner off the edge. Just watching Xavier Griffin in his high school tape, I feel like he could do that. They talked about him having a similar role to Jahad Campbell, which would indicate they view his skill set as that, at least. Do you think, at least like me, that he could potentially carve himself out a role in that aspect? I mean, especially, you know, giving a guy a role always kind of makes them happy, which is good. But I think he also could make the team better in the sense that he just does something a little bit different than some of those other guys in that Wolf room. Is that something that you think could also happen, or you just see them sticking with inside this year?
Yeah, no, I always thought that that was the quickest path for him, is to use him situationally, give him something to kind of focus on. Now, granted, they do love the upside as far as being an off-ball linebacker. You're not going to put exclusively edge and exclusively situationally on his plate, you know, only that in year one. But I think that's a great starting point. It would allow him to kind of get his feet wet, get some experience, maybe build some confidence. Now, granted, if you're going to be one of those quick twitch guys, you got to be an intelligent pass rusher. You know, I think right on the NFL level right now, speed to power, collapsing the pocket on those mobile quarterbacks to keep from rushing lanes being opened up, allowing a guy like Lamar Jackson or, you know, Jalen Milroe or one of those guys to step up and find a lane, you want to be smart. And so you would have to trust his ability to use that twitch and athleticism, but in a way that didn't expose you and give mobile quarterbacks lanes to run the football. But if you could, which I certainly think that he would be, seems like a kid that would be very disciplined, very hard worker. So, yeah, I definitely think that that's something that they could end up doing with him. Because it was so funny because I'm getting texts from people who were at the scrimmage, both people who were normally in attendance for a lot of these practices, but also people who are just there obviously through, you know, it kind of being more of an open scrimmage than normal. And I was getting a lot of text about Dez Zulu, and he was just consistently disruptive, and he had a sack alongside Yonze Pierre. And, you know, I start getting really excited, but I ended up watching your video, I think it was on Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, and you were talking about it, and you kind of alluded to it there. And to me, this is why you need to see it with your own eyes, because me not seeing it, I listen to you and I understand where you're coming from. They start bringing, it seems like they were more aggressive in Friday's scrimmage as far as, you know, sending extra pressure, trying to make the quarterbacks' lives a little bit uncomfortable, see how they respond. The offensive line, same thing. And it just feels like Dez Zulu maybe benefited some from that. Doesn't mean that he had to rely on, you know, extra bodies. He wouldn't, but what you were essentially saying is it felt like maybe he wasn't just dominating these one-on-one matchups or doing anything necessarily that was like, oh, this guy's definitely going to be that complimentary piece to Yonze. He's definitely going to help in that area. But they want guys who can line up, put four, you know, down and get after the quarterback and at least be able to have some success doing that where you can throw in the pressure. It's, you don't feel like you're overly relying on it. So maybe a guy like, you know, Xavier Griffin could end up being one of those types of players for Alabama if they continue to need, you know, some complimentary pieces to Yanze Pierre.
Yeah, and I definitely think he also could be, get this, I think this would be a perfect role for him. Your designated spy, right? When you get into these looks, right, and you're getting into odd rushes and you have that guy, which we called it the Buck. I'm sure they maybe just stick with the Wolf name. Regardless, same thing. It's really your fourth rusher that can also play off the ball or mugged up in different gaps. I think he's the perfect candidate for that because I would argue he's probably the best athlete out of any of those guys in the Wolf or linebacker room in terms of just speed, closing speed for sure, which is really important. And I could see them carving out a role even in situations like that. But yeah, to your point about the Zulu thing, I want to be clear. Like, I mean, everybody's eyes are different. Now, granted, I'd have a little confidence in mine just given I'm playing positions. But I would say, no, it did feel like they were being very aggressive. And a lot of times it did seem like they're bringing pressure or bringing blitzes, which, again, if you're generating pressure and it's being effective, I mean, no one's complaining about that. I just know I was trying to watch the guys up front and I didn't walk away necessarily saying, like, I feel like he's just, you know, going on like a Tim Williams type path or somebody threw that out there where anytime he's in a one-on-one situation, he's working a five technique and he's got a one-on-one with that tackle. He's just like beating guys off the edge. And that's fine. I mean, I think he's still going to develop. And I'll be honest with you, when I watched this tape coming out of South Carolina, I didn't see that. So I didn't really expect that from him anyway. I just know when I was seeing, like you mentioned, like some like the articles or like the reports when people were like, you probably getting texts. And maybe they were seeing some of those plays where there's pressure being brought. I just wanted to be clear from my take on it. And I could end up being wrong. He could end up going for 10 plus. I'm just saying from Fridays, I didn't see that just yet. And I'm hoping someone can step up and be that because I know how important that is. Kane Womack's talked about it, even just going off of my, you know, breakdown on this team from the last couple of seasons. We haven't had dominant players coming off the edge where you just feel like, hey, those guys are going to go out there and they're going to dominate those tackles and win their one-on-ones. I feel like a lot of the pressure has been generated from just that pressure, whether simulateds or even blitzes. So we'll have to see that kind of come along. And I think it just is a matter of who can step up. I mean, Yanze, I feel like you feel great about him. But, you know, like Justin Hill, I think he's got, you know, some potential. You mentioned speed to power. That definitely is very relevant nowadays. As a matter of fact, they've even talked about this as a staff. I know they've, you know, looked at the NFL and made comments about speed to power kind of being the thing in the NFL right now that helps kind of condense the pocket. And it's one of the quickest ways to the quarterback. But you got to have guys that can do it and do it effectively. That's correct. The biggest thing. You know, Will Anderson, he's a really good speed to power guy. He also has been developing his edge move. And that's what made him so impressive to me. I'm like, this dude went for that many sacks. He's not even really working a true edge move. I'm like, man, please let me teach you a couple moves. I mean, you probably double your numbers, but he was so effective just running through guys' faces. I'm like, that's hard to come by. But I think he'll develop. We're still early on. But, yeah, those are just a couple of my observations. But I'm curious about A-Day to get to see it again in that those kind of live bullet situations and kind of form another opinion going into the offseason. But we're joined by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson. He joins us every Tuesday now on the stream. We love it, man. We get to chop it up with him face-to-face. And I know you guys love when he comes on, and we definitely appreciate all the good work that he does. Check them out at Cover Crimson on YouTube, any podcast platform, and, of course, on X and his personal at Clint R. Lamb. Going back to Friday scrimmage, Clint, I know you've talked to a whole bunch of people. You guys have put out a bunch of good content. Kind of give us kind of the overall, just the latest outlook on this football team as a whole. I guess if you want to start, we're talking about the defense so far. We can start there. Any other guys that you've kind of, you know, been hearing about or that you're excited about after Friday's scrimmage? I know the highlights came out. You saw some of those big plays being made by some of the young players in the secondary. A number of guys up front continue to get different reps and do some good stuff with them. I know linebacker, there was that twist, kind of had Abdul Sanders in there. Which I'll say just from my eyes, I mean, he looked, you know, every bit of comfortable with the ones and did a nice job. It kind of makes it even more of a competitive battle, even though I think QB Reese is probably the leading favorite right now. But just your overall takeaways from Friday's scrimmage regarding the defense.
Yeah, as far as the defense, Abdul Sanders, that was the biggest surprise, both to people that I talked to and when I heard it. I mean, I didn't see that coming. I've kind of made the comparison to Kevin Riley at running back this past season, where we were talking about it seemed like everybody but Kevin Riley. We're talking about Daniel Hill and what he did last spring. Everybody still loved Richard Young from a fan perspective and what they were expecting. You know, Jam Miller was expected to be the guy. Even the guys like, you know, Draylen Washington, who was brought in, you didn't think he was brought in to be RB4 or RB5, somewhere in that rotation, probably not one of the top two guys. But then you had this young, impressive player in AK Deer that everybody was wondering, okay, can he end up getting involved? And then you're talking about all those guys, and then Kevin Riley seemingly comes out of nowhere, despite the fact he's a very talented kid in his own right. Well, with this year, it kind of feels like we've been talking about Luke Metz and QB Reese and obviously Caleb Woodson and, you know, Caden Jones. And then you, of course, you jump and you say, well, you know, you got Daryl Johnson, Duke Johnson. You also got Abdul Sanders. But very quickly, the conversation would go from the big four that we have been discussing to, you know, Xavier Griffin. And, hey, this is a really talented freshman. And when can he get involved? And what will his role end up looking like? And then here comes Abdul Sanders. And, of course, it's not late in fall camp. It's, you know, during the spring where we're actually able to kind of wrap our minds around it. And from everything I was told, like you mentioned, I mean, he looked good in that scrimmage. And so you're really proud of that. Obviously, you know, as far as Red Morgan heard, he has looked excellent in both scrimmages. You didn't have some key members in your secondary, you know, Bray Hubbard, Xavier Brown. But once again, with as deep as the secondary is, it's like they're kind of plugging guys in and they're really not skipping a beat. And you can do that with, I'm not saying you can lose Bray Hubbard for the season and it's not going to impact your football team whatsoever. I'm saying if there was anybody who was equipped to lose a player of that caliber or a player the caliber of a Xavier Brown, it would be Alabama because of how outstanding of a job that Mo Linguist and Courtney Morgan and Kane Womack and all those guys have done as far as building depth and experience and some versatility in the secondary. So when you've got Dejon Lee and Carmelo O'Neal out there, 2'6", 4 plus corners, that's a really long cornerback group, can do some different things with those guys. So I did hear that defense definitely won the day. Offense had its moments, but I think, you know, with the way that I'd heard about the first scrimmage and the offense really came out swinging and then the defense had to respond, it was more polar opposite in this scrimmage, where the defense kind of came out there with a chip on his shoulder. And yes, I think, I don't know if they were more aggressive to kind of put more pressure on the quarterbacks and the offense, or was it more so of, hey, they were kind of playing with a chip on their shoulder after kind of struggling to start the last scrimmage, and they wanted to come out a lot more aggressive and get things off on a better foot, or some combination of both. Either way, defense played really well from what I understand, and it makes me very excited about that side of the football.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right. It was kind of a flip from scrimmage one to scrimmage two. And I will say, I think you're right in terms of it being a little bit of both, because I do know Kane Womack and Grubb, they go back and forth at practice and scrimmages. They like to throw a lot of stuff at each other. So the best believe Kane Womack was in his bag. And also, just like they talked about, or at least Kalen DeBoer mentioned, offense installing more. You got to remember, defense is doing the same. So sure. Now that we're in, you know, week three, week four of spring ball, they're starting to throw in some more of those pressures and blitzes and from their defense into the install. And so that's probably what you're seeing out of scrimmage number two. Now, A-Day, I imagine they're going to dial things back, which is good, because I'm hoping, I'll be honest with you, I don't like seeing a whole bunch of blitzes and pressure. Now, when you're in like third down periods or like blitz period, that's one thing. But A-Day, I'm excited because it should be hopefully a little bit cut back. And that's when you really can see guys go out there and just one-on-one matchups, right? Mano y mano. You'll really be able to evaluate these players without saying, okay, was it the system? Was it the play call? Or what is this guy or who is this guy as a football player without some of those other factors? Clint, I want to ask about the other side of the football from scrimmage two. Offense, you mentioned Kevin Riley. Coach DeBoer mentioned him. I'll vouch, man. He was impressive, man. I mean, and not just from like some, you know, stat standpoint, but just watching him move, man, that burst. Had some good vision. I mean, he almost broke one, man. He just got tripped up just barely. But the way he hit the hole, I'm just like, man, he's a guy people should probably talk about a little bit more. But don't sleep on, you know, A.K. Deer and you know, Daniel Hill, they also had opportunities and things. But it's also hard, you know, some guys, the opportunities are kind of, they vary, right? Some guys are with one group, one series. Others might be with another. And you got to take all that into consideration. But anything stand out besides, I mean, we mentioned the running backs? No, Rodgers was definitely very impressive. How about offensive line? Anything there?
Well, you know, I think a lot of the guys who maybe I weren't as high on, and once again, I always preface this, it's always in comparison, right? It's not mm-hmm. that I didn't like Noah Rodgers. you know, I just thought that, okay, you know, I was a little bit more of a Derek Meadows, Sadarian Morgan type of guy. And it wasn't that I was saying that he wasn't going to end up being wide receiver three. I just said, you know, I have said, hey, I mean, it's very much a competition. You know, with Kevin Riley, I always heard about him getting reps with the ones, but when I compared him to Daniel Hill, and especially a Daniel Hill that's lost weight, you know, not dealing with injuries, better conditioning, all those things, it's like I probably lean Daniel Hill there. I lean A.K. Deer, what I expect A.K. Deer to be in year two. And then you got an E.J. Crowell, who I very much expect. I mean, obviously right now he's not really involved. I mean, he's dealing with an injury, and so he'll have to, you know, get healthy, you know, to start and then see what ends up happening. But, like, these were guys in comparison. It's like I don't really think it's going to be a four-man rotation. I think that would be expanding it quite a bit, especially for a team that's really probably not going to, like, run the football a ton unless you plan on getting everybody, you know, three or four carries and that's it. So, you know, I could see maybe three max. And so it was always like a, well, Kevin Riley, while I like him and could very much see him as a part of that rotation, if I had to pick one now, he would probably be the odd man out, in my opinion. Well, sure. Whether it be Noah Rogers or Kevin Riley, when you're wrong, you're wrong. And I'm not saying that I am wrong necessarily, but it's clearly trending in one direction, whether it be with Kevin Riley or with Noah Rogers. And Noah Rogers is the, you know, one where it's like, it's pretty evident, whether you're hearing Kalen DeBoer talk about him, whether you're talking to anybody who is in attendance, he's been a pretty consistent option, which isn't surprising considering the fact that he's a multi-year starter. He has a year of experience at a Power Four program like Ohio State, playing under Brian Hartline, who obviously did a fantastic job as far as wide receiver development. So, I mean, it shouldn't be overly shocking, but, you know, I've been impressed with what I've heard about him. A guy who I've been extremely high on is Josh Ford, and he seems to be living up to the billing. I've kind of compared the three tight ends. Obviously, Danny Lewis, I don't know exactly what's going on there. It just kind of seems the way Kalen DeBoer's talking about it. I don't know if it's he's going to, whatever surgery he had to deal with, whatever he had this past season, that's going to keep him out. I don't know what's going on with that. But I know that as far as like the big three right now, between Marshall Pritchett, Josh Ford, and Caleb Edwards, Pritchett feels more like the pass first, you know, catch first tight end who does have some upside as a blocker. Josh Ford is maybe a little bit underrated when it comes to the pass catching side, but he's not going to be a volume feature dynamic piece there. But he brings the blocking chops. And then based off of what we're hearing about Caleb Edwards, he's kind of the blend of both. So I think having that combination, what Courtney Morgan has talked about at that position, and you don't want any element that is needed out of that position that you don't have on your roster somewhere, whether it be the blocking, the pass catching, you know, and that's more than just inline blocking, guys you can put on the perimeter, flex them out, get guys blocked in space, all those things. So I think they got a really good trio of tight ends that they're going to be able to rely on. As far as the offensive line, I've heard great things about Ethan Fields, you know, and I still think Will Sanders is probably your projected starter at left guard whenever he comes back. But I think a lot of Ethan Fields' success, on top of having Mal Waldrop in there, on top of expecting, you know, Will Sanders to be back and to be in that competition as well, I think it's made the coaching staff confident in moving Nick Brooks around a little bit. We've heard recently him seeing action at left tackle and right tackle. And so, you know, having that flexibility with him is only going to help your depth and, you know, potential options if you got to work into your depth. So really, you know, it wasn't the offense's best day, but I do think there were some encouraging elements for sure.
Yeah, no, there are definitely some things that they can build off of. Definitely, you know, ways to go, just from, at least from what I saw. I mean, they're not where they need to be. Nor where they definitely want to be, but I think it's part of it. Like they mentioned, you're getting thicker in the install. Defense is throwing some stuff at you. It's part of it, and you're gonna see that, and you kind of want to see that balance from your team, right? You want to see that kind of up and down, offense having a good day, defense having a good day, kind of back and forth. I think that shows that your team is kind of growing evenly for the most part, and hopefully they can keep kind of, you know, pulling their weight, because we know how important that offense will be this upcoming season. Clint, we appreciate you joining us. As always on Tuesday, I know you definitely had a busy schedule this morning, so I appreciate you hopping on with us still, man. Before we let you go, of course, man, tell the people where they can find you and keep up with all the great work that you guys are doing.
Yeah, you can find me at Cover Crimson as far as, you know, whether it be on Twitter, the YouTube channel, and then also if you want to follow me personally, at Clint R. Lamb is the easiest way to do it on Twitter. Once again, Christian, always appreciate you having me on, brother, and I look forward to next week.
Absolutely, and next week will be interesting because we'll be discussing A-Day, breaking it down. Definitely talking about the quarterbacks a little bit more in depth. And, of course, offense, line, defense, all that good stuff. So I'm looking forward to next week's visit with you, Clint. We appreciate you and have a great rest of your day, brother.
Absolutely. You too, buddy.
Yes, sir. Good deal. Our guy, Clint Lamb from Cover Crimson. Again, like you heard the man, make sure you guys check them out. If you guys haven't, I'm sure you have. They do a lot of good work. I know a lot of you guys love keeping up with them at Cover Crimson on YouTube, all podcast platforms, as well as X. And of course, at Clint R. Lamb is his personal, man. Big thanks and shout out to our guy, Clint. We got to hit a timeout. We come back.
Wow, you're so good, Harrison.
With Progressive, your RV is protected 24/7, so you're prepared for whatever you don't see coming. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in D.C.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier, so I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
What a beautiful afternoon. The sky mostly sunny, the high 74. Clear and cool tonight, the low 49. The weather stays dry tomorrow and Thursday. Lots of sunshine both days. Afternoon highs between 72 and 75. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 72 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
From Tuscaloosa to the world, download the free Tide 100.9 app for all the latest on Crimson Tide sports.
Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, big thanks to Clint Lamb, who just joined us via the stream. If you guys missed it, I'm going to cut that part up and we're going to post it separately. I know you guys really enjoy me and Clint get to chop it up, so I'll do that. If you guys missed it, you can always go back and rewind as well. Shout out to him and Cover Crimson. Again, check them out if you haven't, at Cover Crimson YouTube and all podcast platforms as well, and including X and his personal, at Clint R. Lamb. Only thing we didn't get to cover, I know we kind of ran against the time there, was the quarterback battle. I definitely was going to ask Clint about that. We'll have plenty of time to do it next week when he joins us, because we will be discussing 8A in depth. And you know Clint, man, he's going to go to the depths of covering it. I'm definitely going to be able to break it down much further because it's a public event, and I'm definitely looking forward to that. But Reed, in terms of this quarterback battle, man, it definitely feels like there's some progress being made in it. While I do feel that it is very much close, right? I can't help but just feel, and this is just my opinion, you know, coming away from Friday's scrimmage, I feel like there is one guy that's kind of taking some steps forward. Now, I still, like I said, that I mean, it's still not pretty much neck and neck, because I still think there are other factors here, but I just think the deeper we get into spring ball, man, the more people get to see these quarterbacks play. I mean, one guy just feels like there's just a little bit something different, and it literally is echoing everything that I've been saying over the past few months about this whole deal. Reed, what have you heard about this quarterback battle, if anything, and kind of what are your thoughts as it sits right now? Because I know there's been plenty of talk following especially this past scrimmage, but even out the first few scrimmages, or excuse me, the first two scrimmages together and through spring ball, there's been a lot of talk coming out of that building. I mean, anything you've heard, or just what are your current thoughts on this quarterback situation?
Well, Christian, I think you spoke on my behalf of, you know, what I've been hearing as well. It seems like both of them are taking strides forward. It seems like one of them is kind of, you know, getting that little extra boost there. But I do want to preference by saying whichever quarterback comes out week, you know, like not week, I should say in a day with the first group, that is not the solidified starter. You know, I think that's another thing that at least in past years, you know, some people are like, all right, let's go ahead and define this guy as, you know, he's going to be the start of the season. This is just for right now, all right? And, of course, you know, this is just the spring. But I think, honestly, and this is how I've been looking at it, I think if it's extremely close, but right now I think one's kind of separated themselves a little bit from the others. But if it comes down toward, you know, a couple weeks before the season, if it is close, like, I mean really close between the two, I think you have to go with the guy that's been in the system longer in, quote, really? Austin Mack.
You know, it's interesting because depending on who you ask, man, they would say the closer it gets. Sorry, I'm trying to pull up this this clip of practice. But the closer that it gets, they feel like you go with the younger guy who you feel like is the more, I don't know, explosive option, the guy that, you know, is quote-unquote the future, and that guy would be Keelan Russell. It's interesting on the different takes and opinions. And that's why I wanted to bring it back up, given that, listen, I mean, I've had a chance to kind of lay eyes on him. I know a lot of people have been able to. And I feel like for a lot of the people that have had the opportunity to see these guys in action, I feel like you hear a very similar tune that both guys are doing some good stuff, right? I mean, there's no denying it. Both guys are talented players. We all know that. But it just feels like what you see out of Keelan Russell, again, it's basically the same stuff I've been saying. It's no different. It's just, after going up there on Friday scrimmage, man, it's just like even more so. I'm like, yeah, there's just something, man. It's just something there. And I don't know, man. It just makes me wonder. I know last year they ended up naming Ty the starter a little bit earlier than maybe some people expected. I just wonder what kind of timeline we're looking at with this, because initially I was thinking in my head personally, this is probably going to go all the way to game one and even probably – could go past that. It could go, you know, second, third game type deal. Not saying they're going to be going every other series, but maybe you have one guy start week one, but it's not like a, you know, is you pencil them in with just that. You pencil them in with a pencil that way. Maybe you erase a little bit after game one if something doesn't go exactly how you plan it. But I don't know, man. I'm just, the more we kind of go through spring, I'm starting to kind of get the vibe that initially, I was thinking like kind of what you were saying, man. I think it's going to be really close. It's going to be hard to deny a guy like Keelan Russell. But ultimately, man, you just look at it, quarterback experience feels comfortable. And I was thinking, man, I could see a world where maybe Matt gets that, like that first start, but then Keelan ends up taking over the job. But the more we get through spring and the more I see these guys, I'm starting to kind of think, man, it could be a situation where the younger guy just beats out the older guy. I mean, I don't know, man. It just, it kind of, I don't know. It just kind of feels like that at this point. You can see both these guys throwing right here on the screen now from today's media availability period. But I don't know. And I think I'm sure you guys are probably hearing that same deal. But that's just kind of what I've started to kind of walk away with, man. I mean, I think Keelan Russell is going along a pace that's just a lot quicker than some people might have expected. Personally, I mean, I was thinking, I probably wouldn't see some of the stuff I'm seeing out of him until like fall camp, but I just feel like he's really grown and progressed and developed a lot quicker than I was anticipating. I think that's what's making this thing feel a little bit different than maybe some expected. Let's do this. Let's go ahead and hit a timeout because I know we got to catch back up when we come back. We'll see what you guys have to say about it. I know we got some folks on the phone lines. We got Smitty. We got Kev. Maybe that's my guy, Shob, and we'll definitely get both those guys on the line, get their thoughts and everything we're talking about. Coming out of practice 11, final open practice before A-Day this Saturday, which really there's only two more remaining. You got Thursday and you got A-Day. Then we put the pads on the shelf for a few months. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep
day so we can help you with the protection that's right for you and the things you love most. Allstate. Are you in good hands? 248-0303.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian.
That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
ZipRecruiter.
Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Download the Tide 100.9 app today.
Edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're talking Alabama football. Just wrapped up with Clint Lamb not long ago. Cover Crimson, but now we're going to go to you guys, 205-342-9904. First up, we got Smitty. Smitty, welcome in.
Christian, how's it going today?
It's good, man. Can't complain. How's everything, Smitty?
Good. Our boy Oba looked good, and my nephew, he's 19, teasing me like, you still watch that wrestling stuff? So I sent him Lola Vice. He was like, man, what time that come on? Funny how that works, huh?
Yeah, that will probably create a wrestling fan for you.
Yeah, but the thing is, really, that's my defense, because I remember when Sable was there, and everybody go, oh, man, the offense don't look good. It's defense first. And I'm thinking to myself, well, at least you know what you got to work on, you know, because I know fans panic about, oh, man, I'm worried. I say, guys, I don't want my team to peak in spring practice. I'm sorry. I'd rather you have something to work on all spring and summer. And like what, you know, Jackson Lloyd was talking about, you got some young guys on offense. I think they just need continuity on the line. And hopefully Will Sanders is healthy for those guys to even work together after the spring. So you can have that continuity together. And a lot of times, one thing about the quarterback battle, and I think what a lot of fans and some media may not get, you can't lie to the players. You know, the players know who's better. And my perfect example, were you on the team when Cooper Bateman and Jake Coker were there?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that was 2015.
Yep. You know, and guess what? Jake Coker ended up being that guy. But the year before, it was Blake Stills. Everybody said he's going to be Coker, but Blake did his thing. And even with Hurts and Barnett, sometimes the players, I remember David all say he went over to Rome, but I think sometimes you just can't lie to the players about who's better also with the potential. And I know people say, oh, this person knows the offense better than the system. Reading the playbook is different than being on the field. It's like learning how to drive with your parents, and it's the first time you drive by yourself on the freeway. It's a whole different animal. And if they believe that, yeah, okay, if Keelan's the guy, we just got to deal with the young freshman stuff, but if he's that talented, you have to just go with it and clean up those things. If Austin Mack is that much better, you go with him. I trust the staff. But I believe the players are going to decide as well because they're out there every day. They're practicing with these people. They know who's going to be better. And a lot of times the players aren't wrong. You know, just like when they put Buckner in for Milroe that time, the players knew who was better. You know, and let's just be real on that. And I think that is something that people aren't considering. But I trust the staff about who they're going to start because they see these people every day and the players see these people every day.
No, I mean, you're definitely right. And that's why you always just got to let it play out. Like the process is going to play itself out, whether that's, you know, winning over the team, whether that's guys, you know, making the necessary, you know, steps to end up being the exact player they need to be to win the job. Like I said, man, I'm just curious what everybody else's vibe is on it. Cause I just know how I walked away from Friday and it was pretty much, mm-hmm. It's kind of what I've been talking about. You got one guy that just feels a little bit different than the other. And yeah, he's going to be, you know, he's going to make a mistake or so, you know, he's
a young guy.
He's going to be a young player. I mean, you kind of expect those things, but it was weird because, you know, I was seeing comments on some of the videos that we had put out and, it's almost like there was a narrative like, oh, well, Keelan's turnover prone and we don't want another Jalen Milroe situation. I'm like, where are people kind of getting this narrative? I'm like, man, I just watched both guys throw interceptions and both guys make throws that you go, uh-oh, you know what I mean? Like, oh, that wasn't good. Like, so I don't think it's necessarily one or the other. I mean, I know maybe earlier in spring, maybe one guy was a little bit more protective of the football, but I think at the end of the day, you just have to expect that early in the spring that both guys are going to make mistakes. And then eventually they'll start kind of separating themselves. And I just can't help but just feel like maybe we're slowly starting to kind of see that. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
But
can I say this real quick? They got other people. My thing with quarterbacks, unless you're Jameis Winston and my Bucks those years ago, I don't really care about your interception. It's the fumbles. It's because, you know, because y'all watch tape, you guys know that certain things that may contribute to that pick. Someone runs the route wrong, someone ain't got a depth, quarterback may have been slow, or defense put their pants on too like everybody else. But fumbles is the one that ticks me off more than anything with a quarterback, you know? Because I believe you have more control of that. And but with defensive line, I do think Big Steve has big-time potential. And I think, like you were saying, with Roach getting on to him, they know what they have. And I think with this line, I think people may think about somebody being better. You might not have to be necessarily better. You may have to give similar production. Because, you know, people leave for their own reasons, right? And I don't really care about all that stuff. But you may want to get somebody and say, hey, I can get this production for this guy as well. If he turns out better, he may be a better fit. And because who's to say Tompkins may be a better fit for the system than James Smith? Because James Smith came in with Nick Saban's system. So he may be a different fit. And that's no knock on anyone, coaching staff, or the players. But if he can give a good production, that's cool. But I take this question off because they got other people. How is Terrence Green? Because I think him and Bingley Jones are so important to this defense because they missed when Tim Keenan was hurt last year against FSU. They missed those pluggers in the hole to stop the run up the middle. But hey, you have a good one, Christian.
Yes, sir. You too, Smitty. Good stuff as always, man. Hey, we got to hit this quick timeout. When we come back, we finish on the phone lines. We got Kev up next. We got Duval as well. We'll let those guys.
9,000 for a free consultation, no fees unless we win. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be formed is greater than that of other lawyers.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy.
Advocacy. Proud.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
Alabama fans are all over the world, and we are too. Download the Tide 100.9 app right now in the App Store and Google Play, and take the Crimson Tide everywhere you go.
Let's be quick, real quick, because I know we got about 5 minutes to run through two calls. First up, we got Kev. Kev, welcome in.
What's up, bro? What's up with you?
What's up, show? Talk to me.
What's up? No, you been giving me. Man, I'm going to call it. It ain't going to be long, man. But I'm going to tell you, I was at the scrimmage, too, man. And I'll tell you, I love the defense. I love the way they were fired up, ready to hit. It seemed like it was two different teams, though. Offensive-wise, I know we're going to be good, but I think we're time out for us having mediocre. We need to play, go back to the times when we played the best players. You know what I'm saying? Not who everybody wants. We play the best players on the field. Let them play it out. And truly in that, to even talk about that scrimmage or even the time, we know who the best player is and the best upside. And sometimes you just got to let ballers play. And I think Keyline is that baller. He's that baller that, yeah, because we've been having a lot of quarterbacks that are good in practice. But then get out there, right, and looks all right. But Keelan is I just truly believe, just following him and watching even the high school stuff, the people he played, he's ready. He can make every throw, and that makes every wide receiver run their fullest. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to run the route to the 100% because I know he can get it to me.
Mm.
So.
What'd you make of the offensive line?
Offensive line, better. I just think our defense has gotten a lot better, too. So, but it's also, like I said, it's been two or three weeks of them together. So, I want to see them at the end of summer camp. You know what I'm saying? See what they look like after gelling and hanging out together, becoming friends. You know, it's a lot more than just being on the field. You know that, where, you know, you got some lifetime friends you have that was on the D-line with you, and y'all came together, and linebackers and all that. You know what I'm saying? And y'all brothers for life now. So when they start building those relationships, it makes a difference on the field.
No doubt about it. No, I agree. I did see some good out of the offensive line. I can see they got some potential with the number of players. Just got to, like you said, come together, and hopefully, man, they can just keep working at that running game. I thought pass pro outside of the, you know, the blitz pickup, it shows some potential there, too. So, I mean, it makes sense. Some different body type. Jackson Lloyd, a little bit better athlete than a guy like Caden Prater at left tackle. I think he's going to be a good player. And, you know, Michael Carroll, I think Will Sanders come back will be good. The center, I think he can do some good stuff for you. So, just got to just keep these guys pressing along, and we'll see what they can do. But you're right, man. We got to get some more out of that group offensively. But it's normal. Early in spring, it's pretty typical for the offense to be a little bit behind. But fall camp, you're right.
I want everybody to watch Riley. Kevin Riley,
yeah,
he's the one that people need to pay attention to. He's not the biggest, but guess what? He's got a heart of a lion. He's used to fighting. stuff he's going through in his life made him, man, he's about to be a father. I just talked to another the other day, and, man, he's so fired up about being a father. It just made me on fire because too many young men being great to be a father and got football, and it's just it's like he has his priorities straight, and he's ready to kill it on the field. He's that dog, a real dog on the field. So I want everybody to watch him. He's going to break out. Well, you saw him in the game when he broke out. Yeah. He got that touchdown. He's got the speed, and he got the heart. So, and now he's going to put the blockers in front of him. Oh, it's going to be stupid.
Yeah, no, he's going to have a good year. I definitely hope that he gets some good opportunities. Kev, we appreciate you, brother.
I appreciate you, man.
Yes, sir, always, man. Let's see if we can sneak Duval on here for about a minute or two real quick. Duval, what's up, brother?
What's up, man?
Talk to me. What you got?
Hey, let me know what's the second rotation on the in the secondary, because I feel like that's the cornerstone of the defense. I feel like they had the most experience. They're bringing back the most players. Is there any drop-off from first string, second string that you can see?
Man, I'll be honest with you. Seeing them on Friday, I was impressed by the young guys stepping up. I mean, you had a couple of your starters, Al Bray Hubbard and Xavier Brown, not participating, but I think Carmelo O'Neal, the transfer from was it Mercer, he was getting some reps in there at the ones, and I thought he looked pretty solid. And then that safety, man, Ivan Taylor, I was talking about him, I think, last week before the scrimmage, and he continues to impress and show up. And I like guys like Drake Kirkpatrick and even Jaire Edwards earning some late opportunities with some of those starters. So I'll be honest, I didn't see a big drop-off. Obviously, I mean, Xavier Brown is one of the best corners in the country. We all know that. But seeing a guy like Ivan Taylor step up at safety, then already knowing what Drake Kirkpatrick is capable of doing as well, I think that that group is definitely the best group, arguably, on the team. And, of course, one of the deepest now that we're seeing the depth that they're building right now this offseason.
Yeah, top five in the nation, in my opinion. But, like, it's going to be scary to see 2 6-4 corners out there, man, on the mileage. You know, we'll be able to get that opportunity. We just had that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, they definitely got that type of potential, in my opinion. Now, it's going to be important that they got some rush to work alongside with on that defense, and also they got to make sure that they're doing it on a consistent basis. You can't get complacent, but without a doubt, I think they're going to be one of the better units in the country. Duval, I hate to do it, but we got to get out of here, man. I appreciate you calling in, brother. Great question, by the way.
All right, man. Roll Tide, Chris.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide as well. Real quick before we get out of here, make sure you guys remember Adam Lamparello with Lamparello Law. If you guys need any of those services, of course, legal representation, NIL, academic misconduct, or whatever the case, any legal matter, they've got you covered. Genuine care, relentless advocacy, passion, but also even further, they've got plenty of services, whether it's test taking preparation, subject matter mastery. They're going to help you with career and academic planning, all that good stuff, high school graduate and students and beyond, young adults, they've got you covered. Check them out at Lamparello-Law.com, or you can always email Adam@Lamparello-Law.com. Again, that's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, the official representation here on the Miller's Edge. We got to get out of here. Big thanks to all of you guys listening, tuning in via radio, via streams, and of course, Reed and the others behind the glass. We appreciate you guys and look forward to doing it again tomorrow right here on the